Okay, we're going to have open lines now for the next 3 hours for you or so. And we're going to open up a special topic line as well. It's the confession line. You know, this case, for example, this Michael Vick case where two other defendants, co-defendants, are pleading guilty in the case. They're confessing. They're confessing. What do you have to confess about? I don't want, when you call this line, your name or your city, because I want you to remain anonymous. But I do want you to confess to something. That's 818-817-0021. Okay, welcome to Coast, and don't forget, we've got the confession line where you can remain anonymous. Now, if those of you want to confess, you can call other lines as well, and you can still be anonymous. However, I may not know that that's why you're calling, so I still may ask you for your name. Just simply say, I'm here to confess, and I won't keep pushing you for it. Let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello?
Welcome to the show.
Yes. I have a big problem with, I want to know how to psychically get rid of somebody that I don't like, how to get them.
Well,
to
why don't you? Why don't you like them?
Because he's verbally very abusive, and
to you or your friends or what?
Yes, he's verbally abusive. He's my father, and he's verbally abusive to me, my mother.
How old are you?
I'm 32, and 32. I keep trying to tell him to give me some space. And
do you live? You still live with them? Is that one of the problems?
No, I don't. I have a visual disability.
Well, look, I am not a proponent on you using evil to do away with or to push off somebody to try to put any harm to them. You just surround yourself in light and goodness and let that work for itself, okay?
Yeah, I don't want to hurt him. I just want him to leave me alone.
Well, just, you know what? Just be you. Just be as good as you always can be. One day, maybe he'll see the light.
Okay.
You know, he's abusive because that's his problem. That's the way he is. Something happened to him a long time ago.
Right. So if I surround myself with light, you think it'll be less apt to happen, or?
Well, I'd also try to surround him with light. Just think good thoughts all the time. It might work. Well, I guess your dad clipped your phone. Let's go to the confession line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello.
Yes. So we're going to confess here.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I tried to skateboard in my house one time. It didn't work very well. The wheels kept getting caught in the carpet, so I mowed my rug.
You mowed your rug?
Yes.
Now, did you actually get a lawnmower and do this?
Yes.
You wheel it in, gas type, so you had to pull it. You had to pull it and turn it on. And you clipped it as low as you could get, I guess, huh?
Yeah, it worked, but.
And so, yeah, you played with the skateboard, and did you rake up the carpet clippings?
Of course, so my parents wouldn't see. I still haven't told them.
Now, what do you mean you haven't told them?
I'm not going to tell them.
Ooh, they don't see it?
Of course they saw, but they didn't know how it happened.
They didn't ask you?
They did, but I didn't tell them.
What do you think they think?
I don't know.
They don't think you got down on all fours and grazed on it, do you?
No. They probably know, but I still haven't.
And then you wheeled the lawnmower out as quickly as you could.
Exactly.
How old were you when you did this?
14.
14 years old. Okay. There's your confession. That's our first one. West of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Hello there. Where are you calling from?
This is James in Grand Junction, Colorado.
Yes, James. What's up?
When I was a little kid living in Denver, Colorado, Dad had just gotten this Pacific Mercury television for us. It was supposed to be a real advanced television that was all ready for color, but then they came out with the wrong color and that didn't work. But anyway, why Ed Sullivan was going to come on and Elvis Presley was going to appear on there. So the family gathered around the television, you know, and when he came on and he started jumping around, Dad was kind of like, he said, I'm not letting anybody see this vulgar stuff, you know. And I remember he went over and shut the television off, and my mother got mad at him, you know. Yeah, but I'll never forget that.
A lot of people did that when Elvis came on. A lot of them. I remember families arguing over that day. Mm-hmm. And he subsequently was on three times. Hey, thanks for the call. It's a great memory, by the way. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hello there.
Hey, George. How's it going?
It's well. Thanks.
All right. I know it's a couple weeks late, but I got a great moron story for you.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. Well, about 7 years ago, I can't live this down. My friends keep bringing it up. I made some new friends, and I decided to go over to my friend's house. First night there, first time ever being in his house. And they bred fish. They had a bunch of fish tanks, big fish tanks, saltwater fish in their basement.
Ah, okay.
Mm-hmm. And actually, I've caused them to stop breeding fish. Well, we went downstairs, and we were kind of hanging out in the basement, and we were looking at the fish. And my one friend starts tapping on the glass, and he says, "Don't tap on the glass. You scare the fish." And about 2 minutes passed, they have a big weight bench next to their one of these fish tanks, like with a 40-pound bar. And I decided I want to lift some weights, and I'm not a weightlifter or anything. So I took the weights off one side, and the bar goes flying, smashes into the side of this fish tank.
Oh.
80-gallon fish tank.
Oh. How many fish were in there?
I don't remember. It wasn't a lot. I don't know. Maybe around like 10 to 20.
Were you able to save some of them?
Actually, from what I've heard, only like two died. Like they were really small ones.
That's a miracle all by itself.
Yeah, but the water came pouring out.
Oh my gosh,
like,
yeah.
Like a river. And I pretty much blacked out for about 5 seconds. And my friends running around the basement, screaming, swearing at me and everything. And mind you, this is the first time I was ever in his house. And his parents came running downstairs, and they, you know, they wanted to know what happened. They saw it and everything. And, you know, I can't hide it. I can't run away. And they pretty much, they didn't yell at me. They yelled at my friend for yelling at me.
How about that? And they defended you, huh?
What's that?
They kind of defended you.
Well, yeah, in a way. They were mad at him for swearing at me. But they, I know I feel terrible, and I apologize to them and everything. I offered to, you know, do whatever I could, but they're like, no, that's okay, that's okay. Don't worry about it. The one thing they wanted me to do was tell my parents, which I couldn't bring myself to.
You could not do that. And they never followed up on that?
They know now.
Oh, they do.
But
yeah.
It's been about like 7 years, but I bottled it up, and I couldn't. And my friends, they won't let it go to this day.
Well, and, you know, it's good that they're still friends with you.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
hey, it was an accident. You didn't do it on purpose.
It was.
Things happen.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Actually, that fish tank I found out was a wedding present from my friend's dad, or from my friend's mom to his dad.
Oh, well, there goes that little piece of nostalgia. Thanks for the call. Let's go to our first-time caller line. Welcome to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Hi.
I have two questions for you.
All right. Who are you?
I'm Justin from Arizona.
Hey, Justin.
Hello. Do you think that Elvis didn't die and that he was abducted by UFOs?
I think Elvis has passed on. I think he's left the building. That's my guess.
Okay.
What's the second question?
My second question is, why do you think ghosts hang around our realm and don't move on to the next?
I don't think they want to leave. Justin, I think that these ghosts are afraid to move on, or they were so attached to some of their earthly possessions or earthly loved ones or friends. I don't think they want to leave. I think they think their life wasn't complete yet, and so they hang around.
So it's like they want to stay in their house, their own house.
Yeah, they're comfortable. They're maybe they're afraid of the unknown, so they just don't want to leave yet.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Well, I think that they stay around just to maybe play pranks on people. Maybe their family, if they have family who died.
How old are you?
15.
How old?
14.
14. Okay, we got your parents' permission, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Have you ever seen a ghost?
Not that I know, but I saw an orb in a picture one time.
Yeah, orbs are everywhere.
Yeah.
Hey, do you love space stuff?
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite space stuff?
I like UFOs.
Did you ever see one?
No.
If a UFO came down, Justin,
and
offered to take you away to another planet, would you go?
Yeah.
You would?
Yes.
What if they said, Justin, we can't bring you back. You're going to have to live with us on the other planet. Then would you go?
No.
Why not?
Because I want to stay here with my family.
That's a pretty good reason to stay.
It would be pretty good, though, to see a different planet, though.
Would you maybe try to talk them into bringing you back?
Yeah.
Or bring your family with you.
Yeah, that's a good idea, too.
You have any pets?
Yeah, I have three dogs.
Three dogs?
Mm-hmm.
Bring them, too. Of course, on another planet, maybe all the aliens look like your dogs. All right, Justin, thanks. Listen to the show, George. And I guess Fridays are the nights you can stay up, huh? Unless you're staying up during the school week, which is fine. Go ahead. Confession line, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Good evening, George. How are you?
I would love to ask your name and where you are, but I shall not.
Actually, you could.
No. I don't want to do it.
Actually, my parents are asleep. I heard the guy talking about having mowed the carpet, and it reminded me of when I was 10 and my sister was 4. This was in the early 70s. Microwave ovens were not all that common in houses yet. One of the first things that we were told was don't put anything metal in the microwave. So, of course, we had to test why you didn't. And we microwaved forks and tin foil and eggs without piercing them, and found out that if you put grapes in the microwave, they build up steam and shoot steam out the stem end and bounce all over the microwave. And fortunately, my parents aren't up, because even though it's been more than 30 years, I think my mother would still kill me.
Did the metal objects toast the microwave?
Eventually, yes. It only took us about 3 months.
And they short it out, didn't they?
It finally died. The whole thing died. My dad got a new microwave. I think my dad might have known that we had to test things. We were curious and precocious children.
The microwave confession. Thanks.
We didn't break the next one.
No, you learned your lesson, didn't you?
We were good after that. Thank you, George.
All right, you got it. Next up, let's go west of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Hello there.
Hi, George. How are you doing tonight?
Good, thanks.
Good. Hey, I had a supernatural story that I wanted to let you know about.
Sure.
This was about 16, 17 years ago when I was in the military. I was in the Air Force, and I was stationed overseas over in England. And we were tasked with one of our security checks was to check on a locked door inside of an old abbey that had been used, I don't know how many years prior to that, but I would imagine back to World War II days, maybe even sooner than that. And what we were tasked about was doing was we would have to go in, and this was usually by ourselves, where we would go in, walk up a flight of stairs, and then there was a hallway of about probably 75 feet, and we had to go down and check the lock on the door because there was a bunch of records that were behind the door. And, George, I don't know if you've ever been to a Catholic funeral. Have you ever?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure okay. Have. Many.
When I'm not Catholic. I've been to a Catholic funeral. I'm not Catholic. But when they, I guess, bless the casket, it's that incense smell.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I distinctly remember that because when I was a kid of about 5-6 years old, I had gone to a Catholic funeral, and that smell was so strong to me that it stuck with me. As I was walking down the hallway by myself to check this door, I had smelled that same odor. And I had checked this building several, you know, 100 times before this. And obviously went up, checked the door. And on the way back out, when I got back out to my car, my partner had said, "What's that smell?" Actually on my clothing. And had never smelled it beyond that. After that point, nothing. And just very, very weird. Very weird smell.
And you know what? That is a smell you never forget.
Absolutely not. It was so pungent. It was that sweet. It was like a sweet, bitter smell. And it was so distinct. And the road, or the actual, they called it a lane over in England, where you actually drive up to the Abbey, or it was a one-lane road. There were reports of apparitions that were seen walking on that road. In fact, a friend of mine that was stationed over there also had said that, "Oh, have you seen the lady?" And I said, "No, I don't know what you're talking about." And he said that his story was, as he was driving up to the Abbey, there was a lady that was walking down towards him, and it was the fog was pretty low that day, and he actually slowed down to go around this person, and he looked back in the mirror, and she had completely vanished.
Well, he's lucky he didn't stop to try to pick her up, huh?
No, but it's just one of those things. You never know, and I think that's the, as far as supernatural things go, or on the other side, if you want to call it that. I've always believed that until something or somebody actually comes up and taps me on the shoulder, I was never a believer. And with that, there's definitely something out there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You change after something like that happens. And I think that that incense that you were smelling was burning palms, if I remember. That's what I think they were. Let's go to our first-time caller line. Your turn. Hello there.
Hello.
Hi. Where are you calling from?
Well, right now I'm driving across Michigan, but I'm from Nashville.
Are
Tennessee.
You a truck driver or just in a car?
Yeah.
Or truck? All right. Go ahead.
Truck driver. When I was a kid, I grew up in East Nashville, about 3 miles from where Colonel Tom Parker lived. And I remember when I was a kid, my mom and dad were talking about it one day, that Colonel Tom Parker had Elvis buy a home out in Hendersonville, Tennessee, which is just north of Nashville. So he had had some place to stay. And come to find out, I found out many years later that the house that Elvis owned was the house that Johnny Cash and June Carter Cash lived in. They had bought it from him.
Now, is that the house that burned down eventually?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
that was originally owned by Elvis. Colonel Tom Parker convinced him to buy it.
I think I may have read that a long time ago.
Yeah. I don't know if you knew it or not.
Yeah, that is. Okay, hey, thanks.
Hey.
Where's my truck driver honk?
Oh, wait a minute. I'm working on it.
All right, there it is. Be safe.
Yeah, you have a good one.
Okay. Bye-bye. You too. If you want to email me, that's george@coasttocoastam.com. Don't forget, this weekend, Ian Punnett is going to be doing Saturday's show, as he does now on a regular basis. But he's also going to do this Sunday for you, okay? And I do the first Sunday of every month, kind of like our special host for Sundays for you. So take advantage of that. Art Bell will do Ghost to Ghost. So he is going to do 15 shows for us over the course of a year, and his program that he will do will be the Ghost to Ghost show on Halloween night. So just mark that on your calendar, and then, we'll try to convince Art to take a few more shows as we lead up to his predictions show on New Year's Eve as well. We've got the confession line open at 818-817-0021. And then I shall be right back in a moment. We will continue with open lines right here on Coast to Coast AM. Ah, so it's not burning palms in these Catholic funerals. It's frankincense, they say. And we'll accept a few, just a few, Elvis impersonators tonight, this being the 30th anniversary week of his very untimely death. Let's go to the confession line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hello there. And I want you to confess, but you won't do it in this lifetime. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Hi.
Okay, well, anyway, about 41 years ago, we'll say, when I was 17 with my brother-in-law, my sister, who's sort of like a sociopath, she convinced him to try and get money in an unorthodox way. So he decided to rob a convenience store, and he wanted me to drive the getaway car. Well, I did. Well, I know we were 16, 17, and I did. And what happened was is that after he robbed the store with the pellet gun that I had that looked remarkably similar to a .38 caliber.
Oh, man.
Well, this is one of those things when you're young and stupid.
You could have gotten killed.
He's running through the yards like a jackrabbit. He jumps in the car, and when he jumped in, he's sweating, and he's got a bag of money, you know, that, and he goes, "You want some of this?" And I go, "No, no." And you know what? The reason why I didn't want any, George, I know this sounds a little weird, but I'm driving the car. Oddly, I'm going toward the police station that were dispatched to come and get us, you know, for the robbery.
Sure.
And I'm eating an apple, and I got this strange euphoric high, like, wow, this is cool, you know? And the cops are going by my window in the opposite direction, and we're the ones. He's on the floor of the car with the bag of money, sweating like like bullets. And it's like, but the thing is that, George, I got to tell you, he went on to become a fireman. I went on to become a healthcare professional. And I kept telling myself over the years that it could have been so easy to take the wrong path, because I don't know, maybe it's because I got ADD, I don't know, but I thought it was cool that we did it and we got away with it.
How much money was in the bag?
Oh, God, it was hundreds, you know, for that back then in the 60s, you know, there was a lot of money in there. And he kept telling me that, oh, that lady was like, she almost had a heart attack because he had the gun and everything like that. And, but I mean, I'm telling you the truth. The thing is that I thought back then, and even when I think about it now, I'm thinking, why did I get this feeling that it was so cool to do that? And now I know why some criminals go down that path and stay on it, because you do get this funny feeling that you can get away with anything, because we did.
Yeah, and you did. You know what, though? Eventually you would have gotten caught.
Tell me about it. You know, and George, thank you for having something like this on, because, yes, it is a confession. No, you're not going to hear any names or addresses, but it did happen, and we were young enough, but something straightened us out. And like I said, we both became professionals, but it still weighs on me sometimes when I think about it. I think about the poor lady at the convenience store.
Did you know, ever bring the money back, ever?
No, because, like I said, my sister, she's a sociopath. She wanted money. And she made him get money, and he was intimidated into doing it. And he felt so bad that it happened. But, you know, believe me, that's another story. But the thing is that, no, we didn't take it back. But, George, I didn't want any money.
No, that's true. You didn't take it.
The strange part was is that I got my reward by being able to get away with it. And I know, I'm a healthcare professional, but back then you just never know where your life's going to lead you.
If somebody said, "I need you to drive this car,"
and I did,
would you do it now?
If I did now,
yeah.
For
that high.
Thanks, George. For
huh?
you did it to me, because I still got this thing inside of me that it's one of those kind of things where not on a situation like that, because I would be more into white collar crime, but not something like that, because I kept thinking about that lady that was scared to death with a gun pointing at her, and that weighs heavy on me. I never wanted anybody to get hurt, but it was my pellet gun that looked like a .38 caliber that made that lady dump all the money in the bag and say, "Here, take it. And when he jumped in the car and he was on the floor of the car sweating, and I'm driving, George, don't ask me, because I'm not really that kind of a person deep down, but why I got such a high out of it, because the cops were going in the direction.
Oh, yeah. To you, it was exciting. I'm going to take a few more calls, but, man, I'm glad and hope everybody learned their lessons out of that one. Wild Card Line, you're on the air with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. Good evening.
Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Okay, this is a confession.
A confession, okay. So I don't need your name or where you are.
Okay. So this is about 10 years ago. It's Thanksgiving morning. I get up. I get my little boy up. I put him in front of the TV for the parade, and I go off into the kitchen, and I start making dinner. Well, I started making the pies first and everything. Well, about an hour into it, I realized I forgot to take the turkey out of the freezer to thaw it. And I have a 27-pound turkey.
Ugh.
And they say, like, thaw it on the counter usually, or thaw it.
It takes forever.
Right. And I'm not a big fan of thawing it on the counter because of salmonella, you know, and stuff like that. So I'm like, oh, my God, what am I going to do? So I started sticking it in a big pot of water. Well, that water would get cold so fast, and it wasn't doing anything. Well, here I had just recently got a jacuzzi bathtub put in my house. So I said, well, let me see. That might be enough cold water. So I scrubbed it out real good with Clorox and everything, and I filled it up with cold water, and I put that turkey on there, and I pushed that button. And
it bombarded him.
For about 15, 20 minutes, and, voila, it was thawed, completely thawed. I mean, it was still sealed in a plastic
sure.
net you carry it in. But that did. It was just like 15, 20 minutes, and everybody said it was the most moist, tender turkey that they ever ate. I don't know if it was because of the propulsion of the jets hitting against it.
It sure was. Oh, yeah, you agitated it. I'm telling you, I remember one of our very first Thanksgivings, and we were cooking for our family to come over. And my wife and I at the time, we were like 21 and 20. And we had a stove that apparently was defective and didn't know that. And so we had this turkey in the oven for like 9 hours. And it was still cold. And we'd keep checking on it and go, well, pretty soon. And it was a Thanksgiving that we'll never forget because everybody who was there went without turkey that year. Let's go to our confession line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Yeah. Hey.
Welcome.
Welcome. I have a confession. About 10 years ago, it was kind of a small family reunion. My brother, my sister, kids, and aunt and uncles and whatnot. And we were in the backyard having cocktails, and the girls were in the kitchen cooking and whatnot. And I went to go to the bathroom. And I heard my sister's baby, who at the time was about 6 months old, 5 months old. And my two girls and my sister's daughter were in the room playing. So I was like, oh crap. You know, I finished going to the bathroom, washed my hands, run in the bedroom. And I caught my father my two kids were sitting. At the time, my kids were 4 and 8, and they were sitting, and my 8-year-old was pretty much teaching my other daughter how to spell and count and whatnot with these little blocks. And when I walked in, my sister's baby was on my dad's lap, and I don't want to be too graphic. When I walked in, I saw what he was doing. She was butt naked, and she was actually, when I go to walk in there, it wasn't a cry like it, you know how kids hurt themselves, like bang their head on the side of the bed or whatever, you know, like they're playing or whatever. It's something like, it was a different whimper. When I ran in there, I saw what he was doing. Okay. I totally caught him. He looked at me. I looked at him, eye to eye contact. He set the baby on the bed and walked out. 10 minutes later, he left. But I was just like, oh, I was totally, my dad was like, took me to my, peewee football games, baseball games, stuff like that. Like, totally, my mom was there. It was like, oh, my God. Well, my mom, my dad left, and me and my sister, after more cocktails, I told her what happened. She basically told me that what had happened when we were kids. I had no idea. Me and my brother, totally, I talked to my brother. He couldn't make it because he was in Oregon. And I told him what happened. He's like, oh, my God, well, 2 years later, about 18 months later, I was watching a CSI Vegas show, I think it was, where this gambler stiffed this waitress, and she took like Visine, put it in his drink so he would get diarrhea.
All right.
And so it ended up killing him, though. She gave him too much. Well, so that was my big idea. Well, we had another family. No one ever brought it up. My mom had passed away by this was 2 years later, our next summer reunion. My mom had passed away. My dad shows up. No one says nothing. Mind you, my sister says, don't make a big deal. You know, my wife was totally wrecked. Still is to this day.
Because you told her, she obviously knew about all this, right? About your father.
My sister?
No, your wife at the time.
No, she did. She didn't know.
Oh, okay.
That's why she was, no one knew but my sister, and I guess
And you.
And me, exactly. And my brother.
And
I
your
mean,
brother.
He knew, but as far as we were concerned, my sister said, don't tell nobody. You know, hey, whatever. My mom passed. I mean, it was just a really screwed up 2 years. And so we have this another little family reunion on the anniversary of my mother's passing. And my father shows up wasted. So I was like, hey, I had some Visine. You know, I had flew down to see my sister and bro. So I spiked his cocktail with the Visine. Well, I gave him too much Visine and ended up killing him.
He died?
He died of a heart attack.
Right there?
No, it probably an hour and a half. No, he started getting when I put it in his drink, probably 15 minutes later, he started having problems breathing, whatever. I mean,
did anybody else in the family know what you did?
My brother and my sister know, and my wife.
And this is now the deep, dark.
This is now 8 years later, and I finally get to tell someone else.
Oh, you got that.
I'm gonna tell you what, George. It does. It bothers me, kind of, but really, it doesn't, because I'll never know if you did that to my daughters, because I don't have the heart to ask them if something like that happened. Because you know what? I've left my kids alone with my father. I don't know how many times.
God, I don't know what to say.
Yeah. Either do I, but it's good to get it out. Thank you.
All right. My gosh. It's the confession line. I didn't expect that at all. Well, let's go to you, west of the Rockies. Hi there.
George?
Yes, sir. Thank you for calling.
Okay. Sounds like that last guy's got some issues. I think the right thing to do would be turn himself in, regardless of what he thinks might happen, but I'll get to my question really quickly, a lot faster than he did.
I wonder if it will ever be like the Telltale Heart. Remember that Edgar Allan Poe story? He just keep hearing the beating and beating of the heart until he couldn't take it anymore.
Yeah. I got a question and comment. Question is, I think you and all your us and all the rest of the listeners think you ought to give us a confession. Something maybe you've never told anybody before, something you might be embarrassed about, something silly happened.
God, I've done things in my life I'm embarrassed about. Stupid things, childish things. Let me think about that while I'm taking these calls.
Right. Okay, let me give you my my question comment. There was a TV show, and I don't know if you had seen it or not, and I don't know if it's a series or what, but it came on, and it was a documentary about these people that, you know, claim that Bigfoots exist, and they contacted, like, three of the big-name Bigfoot people, I guess, or organizations that claim that they can get in regular contact with them, if not seeing them. Oh, excuse me, I got the hiccups going. Like,
this is going to be interesting. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, so check this out. They so these all three of them said, yeah, you know, we can even take you along for X amount of money and da da da. Well, what they didn't know was this guy. They named off the top five hot spots for sightings. The number one, you know, the top five that were extremely hot for sightings. And so what he did was, he of the three different groups that he called. Or the five different groups that he called, three of them mentioned the same spots. Well, he went to those spots a month each, and he had, what's that camera, is it called thermal vision, where you can see?
Thermal laser.
Yeah, where basically you can, like, it's like you're looking through a camera in the dark, and somebody's there, you can see them because their body's temperature's hot.
Mm-hmm.
They scanned these entire areas, and they had a geologist with them that knew the landscape and knew if there was caves in these areas or not.
Thermal imaging, not laser.
Yeah, thermal imaging, yeah. They came up with nothing, absolutely nothing, other than deer and what you would expect out there. No Bigfoots. And it just blows my mind that people buy into that. I just think it's such a joke. And every time you see something, why is it always a shaky cam? They've got no proof, no hard evidence, no nothing, no bones, no nothing. And they talk as if they've been studying them for years, and they've studied nothing. It's all assumptions. And
I bounced a Bigfoot guy after I felt that he was taking people and tossed them off the show. I got tired of the story.
Right. Well, and just to add to this, and this is my last comment, and I'll hang up and get your response offline.
Sure.
And that was this same company, this show that was on TV, they contacted three major newspapers in three different counties. They told those, they ran an ad that they had had a sighting of a Bigfoot, and now these Bigfoots, their fur, I guess if you want to call it that, was green. It was completely made up. They did it just to see what the response would be. And sure enough, what do you think? People start calling it, yeah, I see one too, and it was green.
It was green, sure.
It just shows the common denominator in that. It's people's imagination just runs wild. You know, it doesn't take much. And that's why I really commend you because, you know, I don't know if you believe in this stuff or not, but you always come across so polite when you hear people talking. And I enjoy listening to you, even if it's something I don't believe in. I'm just like, man, these guys are in so left field. They talk about this as if something's really there, and they've got nothing to prove for it.
The ones I love are the real credible ones, the Lauren Colemans and the people like that. I liked the Matt Moneymaker last night. Those are the people I enjoy talking to because they're truly trying to get to the bottom of just what this is. First-time caller line, welcome to the show. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, George. How you doing? My name is Sean. I'm calling from Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Hi, Sean.
Got a bit of a story for you. Hopefully I can get this out fairly quickly. Okay. I used to live in Rochester, New York, and this story happened about 11 years ago, junior year in high school. I had a good friend. And we had a falling out for about a period of about 4 months. And something came to me, just made me think, just to approach him and put the friendship back together.
Mm-hmm.
And this happened for about a month and a half. We were back, you know, we were friends again. And one day he called me. This was on a Sunday. And said, "Would you want to have a pickup basketball game?" And he brought up a very unusual comment.
What was it?
He had decided to become a Catholic at this point.
Okay.
And this is while we had had a falling out. And he had stopped going to church at one point. And his question to me was, since I stopped going to church and haven't confessed my sins in this period of time, if I died tomorrow, would I go to hell? And it was a very unusual conversation, and he had never brought up anything like that before. The significance was that about 2 days later, he had stayed home sick, and his mother found him dead from a brain aneurysm.
It's almost like he knew something.
Almost like he did, and I'll tell you what, George, the significance to me was that... it was the only time in my life that I felt grateful to God that we had become friends again in that month and a half period of time.
And you know what? You helped him. You helped him a lot. And that was always a perplexing question for me, too, because I would go to confessionals and as a young Catholic kid, and my friends who were Protestants never had to. And I kept saying, well, why do I have to in order to get into heaven? And they don't have to. And it took a long time for me to realize that you don't have to go to a priest to confess in order to get through those pearly gates. I'll be back in a moment. Open lines continue, including the confession line at 818-817-0021.